men handle the truth. Truth.
Second hour of Spin Cola Speaks. Our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. That website is wvfoundations.org. And we will take calls after the next break at 877-488-5350. You know, you brought up something very interesting about the similarities between the invasion of Iraq and what happened with Germany and Poland. And it is interesting that the United States, even after the horrific depression, which was, I believe, imposed by the Jews, that William C. Bullitt made a deal with the British because of the Johnson Act. The Johnson Act prevented Roosevelt from furnishing direct financial assistance. And so what they decided to do was to be able to furnish warplanes through Britain, and then in turn Britain would give Poland the planes, and you know, and here they'd just gotten through, or were actually still in a depression, and yet we're spending money to do warfare.
Yeah, well, Deanna, Roosevelt was notorious for breaking the law. He ran stuff out of Quebec. He just ran it up to Canada and ran it at Quebec. You know, he broke the law all the time. And of course, you know, is this almost this deity type status that some people hold him on is absolutely bogus, because he wanted to, you know, he was itching to, you know, something to happen in Europe. He wanted to get that war going. He wanted to get in something going on to bail him out at home. And of course, you know, with the Japanese situation, you know, he knew Pearl Harbor was going to happen. So what does it happen? He allows Pearl Harbor to, you know, stokes that going on, pokes a cane in the eye of the Japanese, gets them to attack Pearl Harbor, but he pulls aircraft carriers out first, you know, leaves the aged battleships there and gets a bunch of U.S. sailors killed in the process. And what is his priority? Instead of, you know, waging war with Japan, who quote-unquote attacked us at his instigation, he makes Europe the priority. Why? Because the Jews want Europe. They want the Germans crushed yet again. Makes no sense. And you go, you know, it's not rocket scientists. You know, it's not rocket science at all. And it goes back to, you know, 1933, when, you know, worldwide Jewry declared war on National Socialist Germany, before National Socialist Germany had done anything. There had been no Nuremberg decrees in 1933. Nuremberg decrees came in 1935, you know, almost 2 years later, International Jewry had essentially been waging war on National Socialist Germany for 2 years before Germany reacted to them and said, you know what, we have an enemy alien group in our nation that has declared war on us. We guess we better do something about it, you know, 2 years later. Hello? I mean, you know, it's incredible. But getting back to this, again, I'm doing this contrast in this Polish situation and actually what the true aims were, because the true aims were economic, Dan. I think we need to wrap up the Polish thing and take some questions, because there's just so many lies and distortions about what happened. Moving into 1939, there was a concerted effort. Germany made some serious diplomatic proposals. Again, I'm going to reiterate, their proposal was to return Danzig, you know, to Germany. It was a German city in this League of Nations, you know, free city garbage, and to guarantee German access between Pomerania, Danzig, and East Prussia. Germany did not make claims on Posen and the rest of those. You know, they were not demanding all of the rest, greatly modifying the 1937 borders, and they were asking for guarantees on the safety of the German population. And of course, things had been fundamentally changing, because you had these tremendous atrocities. Again, like I said, were being reported.
Absolutely. All righty, we're going to a break. We will be back in 3 minutes.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dry guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dry guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the freeze-dry guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5, or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com and now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with four of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Deanna, and our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. That website is wvfoundations.org. And you were talking about the Polish atrocities. And there is a book. It was written in 1940. It's called The Polish Atrocities Against the German Minority in Poland. And anybody that wants documentation about that can certainly email me. Or do you have that posted on your website?
Yes, I have it. I'm going to upload it probably today or this evening, or probably this evening. And actually, that is probably that book has all of the links to the outside media, not German media, because if you were to say it was in the posted in the German media, everyone will dismiss it. But it actually has the citations to the Paris media, to the London media, and some of the other media that was covering the atrocities and was saying, no, this needs to be addressed. And actually, there was actually some notations in there. There was diplomatic communications between London and Paris to Warsaw saying, we're aware that this is happening. It hasn't been reported to us by Berlin. Our own attachés and ambassadors in Warsaw are making us aware that you are persecuting and engaging in it, almost quasi-genocide against the Germans in the former Prussian territories, and this needs to stop. And so that I'm going to post that. It's in a PDF. It'll be a PDF file. Should be fairly simple to download, like the German White Book. And again, these are all original documents. And I can't stress enough, like for students like Emily, to use original documents, because the original documents, both German, even Soviet documents, because the Russia now is making some a lot of documents available. And, you know, it wasn't too terribly long ago, maybe 24 months ago, that Russian military archivists were basically had admitted that Stalin was going to invade Europe, and that Barbarossa was indeed a preemptive action. Now, it was announced, and then that was it. They never covered it anymore, and none of the agenda historians like Emily's teacher said anything. Nobody said, we've been wrong. They just let it be announced and then went on about their business. As a matter of fact, I don't remember a story on CNN, ABC, not even Fox News, none of them announcing that, hey, you know, Russia has announced that, yes, Stalin was going to invade Europe, because it would have contradicted the Jewish narrative. And we, heaven forbid, we can't do that. We cannot do that. You know, they begrudgingly just announced that the United States covered up Catan. I mean, they covered that up. They knew that the Soviets had massacred the Polish intellectuals and military leadership in their zone of occupied Poland. They knew it, and they covered it up. And, you know, we can cover that a little bit later, as if we have time in the show, about the Soviet invasion of Poland in September of 39. But getting back, you know, we're in 1939, and things really heat up as far as diplomatic activity to resolve this, what they call the Polish Corridor, which is really a silly term, because it was not ever a Polish corridor by any means. It was called that as a result of the Treaty of Versailles. Germany made numerous attempts. They made proposal after proposal after proposal, but then the atrocities happened. And I believe that happened for a reason, Deanna. Essentially, you had Jewish commissars out taking Polish nationals after the media in Poland, the Jewish media in Poland, had whipped up a frenzy and started engaging in this essentially genocide against the German minority. And what they're doing is they're creating a pretext for war, because, you know, concurrently you have Neville Chamberlain issuing this stupid guarantee, and it's been documented that Adolf Hitler's comment was, you know, what business is it, what interest is it of London's and Paris's of this issue we have going on with Poland? And, you know, so if we take action, you know, they're going to come to the table, and they're going to, you know, we're going to go in, we're going to take Danzig, we're going to take that, and you know, they're going to ultimately back down. We're going to work out an arrangement like we did at Munich, and that's going to be it. And, you know, his position was, his mindset was, it's been documented by people that were around him, was, what business is it of theirs? What's their interest in that? And of course, you know, I'm not sure he knew at the time that Franklin Roosevelt was the one that was actually pushing this. He was pushing Chamberlain. He was pushing him. It was Franklin Roosevelt. He was the one with Morgenthau, which, you know, I can't stress this enough. Chamberlain was actually, he was a man of 70 years old, had stomach cancer, and he was agonizing over this. As a matter of fact, on August 28th, which was several days before war had even started, the British High Command came to him and was pestering him to have a meeting to sign war plans. They were already getting ready for war. And the British military high command had been coordinating, had been consulting with the United States, with the War Department. What business is it of the United States? What's going on in the Polish situation? What business it is of England? What goes on between a Polish dispute with Germany over German territory, over Germans, is basically German citizens. It's dumbfounding, but we know what it is. We're going to talk about it right now. It's economics. Germany, the National Socialists come to power, and we talked about the National Socialist Economic Plan in prior shows. They came to power, and they implemented that plan. They were well-disciplined. They had the will of the people, and I just did a oral history with a gentleman by the name of Dankwart Kohler, and it's posted on my website. And now, it's interesting. He's kind of a different type of interview, because he remains a German citizen. And I didn't know that until I spent about 6 hours with him, and then we did about a 2.5 hour interview. And so he is subject to extradition. The Germans could listen to what he says and what he doesn't say and such, and they could say, we're going to extradite you, and, you know, we're going to have some words with him. So anyway, but what's interesting, he went ahead and did the interview, but he made some very interesting comments. He said, one, that Weimar was an abject failure. Everybody was unemployed. The country was destitute. You know, the morale was, you know, there was no national pride. He said the National Socialists came to power, and it was almost, you know, almost immediately things began to improve. The national pride improved. He said the economy just turned around. You know, they put people back to work. You know, they began producing again. If you just listen to that oral history, he was there. He lived just south of Stuttgart. In fact, I'm going to do an oral history next week with a German lady who lived in Stuttgart as well. And but anyway, getting back to Mr. Kohler, he basically was very, very descriptive. He talked about the tremendous turnaround of the German economy and how fast it happened. By 1936, Germany was economically self-sufficient. And when I say, you know, there's a difference between self-sufficient and a world power, and the self-sufficiency is what scared the world powers, especially international Jewry and the international banking cartel. And when I say international banking cartel, I put them on the same plane as a drug cartel, because they're both equally corrosive. They both enslave. Drugs enslave people every bit as much as a bank enslaves people. And Germany got rid of them. They proved that an economic system could be developed where you did not need massive amounts of usury. You did not have to enslave yourselves to the middleman. They did that, and by 1936, at least, definitely by 1937, they were actually emerging as a world power as well. The two together, an economically self-sufficient nation emerging as a world power, that sent shock waves across the Atlantic, through Paris, through London, and on into Washington, D.C. You have Franklin Delano Roosevelt sitting over there with the Jews whispering in his ear, got to do something about this, Germany's back. Their people are working in London, they're working in Paris, and of course, their frontline troops are the French army, backed up always by a British expeditionary force, and of course, they always bring, you know, their big guerrilla, the Americans, over to, you know, do the, you know, finish the task after they've worked on it for about two, three years. So, they started on this early. They started on this in 1934. When that was published, Judea declares war on Germany. That was the boycott. It started then. The plans were in the works. We have to do something about this. They definitely started ratcheting up in 1937 and 1938, and, of course, the artificial guarantee on Poland. Okay, go back. Like I said earlier in the first hour, Poland and Germany were working this issue out. Germany was obtaining its territorial goals, the goals that it had outlined for its foreign policy, peacefully through diplomatic ways. And I like to use repetition because it's important, because people have been so hammered and hammered with this stuff about Germany was an aggressor nation and used aggression and war to achieve its aims. Really? Okay, let's recap. Germany, Austria was incorporated back into Germany by peaceful means and by a plebiscite in which 98% of Austrians voted for Anschluss. As a matter of fact, the western areas of Germany, you know, the Ruhr and the Saar, they voted in a plebiscite as well to return. It was France wanted, had been trying to get those, you know, since, you know, the Treaty of Versailles. They returned to Germany. The Sudetenland, that was rightfully done by an international treaty. The Bohemia and Moravia, that was done. The Czechs invited German occupation. That was done peacefully, regardless. And the Slovaks wanted independence, which they got. There was never a massive German occupation in Slovakia, and economically they thrived in the new National Socialist Europe. Germany worked since 1934 on the Polish issues, and they would have. And again, it's my position that without the Jewish interference in the internal affairs between those two governments, and them taking advantage of the after the death of Podolsky, they would have worked that out. Particularly looking at the diplomatic successes that Germany had, you know, prior to 1938, prior to 1939. But you had a Weimar situation that developed from 1935-36 on in Poland, and boy, did the external forces take control.
Exactly. All righty. We're going to a break. We will be back, and we do invite your phone calls. And you can call in to 877-488-5350. Be right back.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including turtle tough shelters.
We have added 2 24-foot turtle tufts to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in two sizes. Get your turtle tough shelter and accessories included at turtletoughshelters.com. That's turtle, T-U-F-F, shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at turtletoughshelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer-rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Hey there, my name is Frank Bates, and I'm about to tell you in the next 60 seconds could get me in a lot of trouble. I just created a free video presentation at 123crooks.com that exposes the electricity monopolies and government agencies for what they really are. Incompetent, lying crooks that are counting on your ignorance and fear to keep your power bills criminally high. Some have called this a conspiracy. Others have called it a cover-up. And you'll be shocked to find out how deep the conspiracy goes. My video at 123crooks.com exposes the truth and shows you the secret of how I beat them and how you can beat them too. Watch the controversial video that thousands of other smart patriots have already seen in the last 3 months. Go to 123crooks.com and discover one weird trick to slash your power bill and protect your home. Go watch my video now at 123crooks.com before they force me to shut it down. 123crooks.com.
Today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. That website is wvfoundations.org, and it looks like we do have some callers lining up. So you want to finish some comments before we take calls?
There was a comment in the chat room about FDR being poisoned. I wanted to comment on that. Several years back, I saw an interview by Dr. Howard Bruin, who was FDR's cardiologist, was brought in in late 44 by FDR's doctors because they realized he was sick. And Bruin, that was probably one of the only interviews that Dr. Bruin had given, and he'd indicated FDR had congestive heart failure. FDR was, you know, drank and smoked, and he essentially, when you have congestive heart failure, everything else goes, and he essentially just wasted away like the evil, piece of evil that he was, and so it couldn't have happened to a better person. So I don't believe he was poisoned. He was philandering around, was having his picture taken by his, with his mistress, and was drinking and smoking, and ended up with a cerebral hemorrhage. I'm not sure that he was poisoned. I do believe that Stalin was poisoned by the Jew Beria, but I'm not sure that the FDR was. I think FDR just was ended up dying as a result of his unhealthy living, and so what? It's just too bad it didn't happen much sooner to prevent the horrible policies and destruction, because FDR is the single person most responsible for the destruction of Western Christian civilization, in Europe, which spread across the Atlantic to the United States. He destroyed Europe, and he destroyed this country as a result of his policies and having the United States on the wrong side of history.
Right. Yeah, he was an evil guy. I guess he died in the arms of his mistress, too.
Yes. Yes. Yes, he did.
All righty. Should we take some calls? Phone calls? All right. Let's take Buddy from Boston. Buddy, welcome to the program.
Yes, good afternoon, and thank you very much. I had a question for your guest. His familiarity with the subject that I found on the Internet called the Comintern Pact, why such diverse areas as Japan and Italy signed a pact with Germany. Are you familiar with that name?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I'll get off the phone. Thank you, Deanna.
Yeah, yes, it was. If I remember correctly, they also referred to it as the Pact of Steel. And in fact, there were some efforts to even expand that. But you know, as relating to what we're talking about now, and I think I mentioned it earlier in the show, as early as 1934, late 1934, Hitler had approached Poland about signing a much broader agreement aimed to keeping the Soviets in check and to keep them from coming into Europe. And by that time, you know, because Podolsky had died in 35 from liver cancer, and by that time, Poland was, you know, the Jewish forces were already beginning to turn Poland into a mini Weimar, and it was destabilizing. Just nothing was happening, and Podolsky on his deathbed was essentially trying to keep things kind of neutral. He was deathly fearful of the Soviets. He had a desire to improve relations with England, as did Hitler. You know, Hitler, you know, the whole time he was waging war, you know, was trying to improve relations with England. So, I am familiar with that pact. And interestingly, I have some criticism of that pact because I don't believe Japan lived up to all of the obligations under that pact.
All righty. Let's take Richard in Washington. Richard, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon. I always enjoy Roddy's factual presentations of true history. I wondered, I think I suggested this before, if you'd ever gotten to Ominous Parallels by Leonard Peikoff.
I have not, but I have ordered it.
Excellent, excellent. My belief is if you don't learn from history, you repeat it. And as you've pointed out, we have a small focused tribe that is imposing their worldwide view and objectives on us herd mentality types. Those two trends seem to be depopulation and corporate feudalism, transferring wealth to their purses versus ours. Since you continually repeat this point of view from the history of Germany, what's the solution?
Well, let me comment and then I'll tell you what the solution is. You just hit what World War II was about, transferring wealth. And let's stop and talk about that, then I'll talk about what my opinion is, and that could be get you a cup of coffee and could not. World War II was about the transfer of wealth. The National Socialist system, particularly the economic system, stopped dead in the tracks the transfer of wealth for doing nothing. That's what it did. National Socialist economic policy, and that's why Worldview Foundations is in the we're doing publishing projects as well, publishing the economic publications that have been essentially buried, and we're returning those, we're having those translated. We have one that's coming out very shortly, it's already done, and then we have two more in the works, and that's why that is so important, so people can see exactly what the economic proposals and theory was and why they were so successful. But what World War II was about was the transfer of wealth. The international banking cartels, which are basically Jew-driven, wanted to continue this transfer of wealth, essentially this middleman cartel type of situation, which I equate to drug cartels. You know, what does a drug cartel do? What does a crack dealer does? Keeps you coming back, and they do nothing. And that is what this was about. Germany was going to stop that and end that. And so they all got together. Why would capitalism and communism all get on the same side at some point?
Exactly. All right, we do have to take a break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Are you concerned about fluoride, chlorine, parasites, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Dalton ceramic water filters have been made continuously since 1827 and are used by disaster relief organizations and in third world countries to supply safe drinking water. Not only do we offer gravity filter systems, but also under the sink and countertop systems. Our replacement filters can be used to upgrade your existing system. And unlike some other filters on the market, Dalton filters do not have to be primed. For more information, call us at 800-696-1435, 800-696-1435, or order online at Dalton.com. That's Dalton.com.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE and colloidal silver, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system, and fire piston, or just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today. Toll free 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Call now 800-537-1339.
Extend your life.
A healthy heart starts with Extendivite. I've always believed that I had to have a strong defense to overcome the new superbugs of today. Extendivite, a 7-herb heart protection cocktail, not only helped me to overcome a massive heart attack, but it also has built up my natural immune defenses against colds and flus. Extendivite has so many benefits that we all should be taking Extendivite to build up our defenses for what superbugs might emerge yet. So start today, clean out the toxins, and be as healthy as you can be. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Rodney Martin, the director of Worldview Foundations. That website is WVFoundations.org. And anyway, you were responding to Richard's question.
Yeah, I think I wanted to cover the wealth transfer because he hit it in a nutshell. That's what World War II was about. National socialism, national socialist economic policy was going to end the wealth transfer. You know, that had been so harmful and devastating to nations and nation states, which still is. Look at Greece, look at Italy, look at Spain, look at this concept of bailouts, which now, you know, the European Union is saying it's Germany's job because it's the healthiest state, you know, even being a vassal state and having been robbed of more of its territory after World War II, is still the most powerful economic country in Europe, you know, the German ingenuity. There's this institutional and cultural hatred of Germans because of their ingenuity and you know, just who and what they are. But besides that, Germany ended this wealth transfer, you know, for doing nothing but brokering goods and services, for, you know, ending wealth for no work. They ended that, and that was going to, you know, Washington and London and Paris, they were going to end that. But it derived from Washington. Make no mistake about it. The war in Europe came about by the political intrigue of Franklin Roosevelt. Now, what can we do about it? First thing, I think, is we have to make sure that we take our children back and that we're actively involved in their education. If the school that they're in is so horrendous that, you know, they have the teachers like Emily's teacher, then parents are going to have to homeschool their kids. You know, make no mistake about it. Make it happen. Do not surrender your children. The second thing is stop the Jew speak. Do not take your language and words back. Don't say Holocaust. Don't say Holocaust survivor. They were inmates. A lot of them were in there for crimes, for Pete's sake. Don't concede your language and your terminology. Don't talk their language. Don't concede anything. If you know it's not true, don't concede it. Those are the first two big things that you can start to do. And then three, don't support anything or anyone that doesn't conform to your values and ideals. You know, this business saying, well, we have to compromise. Well, the road to surrender goes through compromise.
Yes, indeed. And of course, I think it's also the things that you're doing, the interviews that you're doing, all of the things that you're making available via your website. Those are all very supportive and things that we need to spread around. And I think it's also important that we listen to radio programs that don't promote garbage and support the government's version of World War II.
Well, also, let me respond to something because I think I'm getting corrected about my use of Holocaust. I'm in the chat room, Uncle Rick says Dresden was a Holocaust. Dresden was a war crime and Dresden was genocide. You could say Dresden was a Holocaust. I don't like to use the word Holocaust because that opens up a debate for Jews to say, well, what happened to us? No, Dresden was clearly was targeting a cultural city that had not been touched all during the war. It was genocide, and it was a war crime. They want to get into a debate on war crimes, then we can talk about war crimes. And I can tell you there was far more actions that could be classified as war crimes done by the British, Americans, and even by French in 1944-45, but definitely by the Soviets, than were ever done, by the Germans. If you look at the German occupations of Europe between 1939 through 1944 and 45, because there were still nations, entire nations of the German occupation until the end of the war, compare that with the Allied occupations and from World War II forward, I can tell you the German occupations were benevolent, they were humane, and even citizens in those occupied territories will tell you, look at the British citizens who were on the Channel Islands who were occupied until the after World War II, until the end of World War II, they will tell you that the German occupation forces were benevolent, they were kind, they were respectful, and they were professional. So, that's their testimony. I have a videotape of British citizens who lived on the Channel Islands during the war, and that's their statements. It doesn't fit into the traditional narrative, but it is what it is, isn't it?
Right.
Getting back, unless we have another caller.
We do. Richard, did you have another comment?
Well, I just wanted to say that those were excellent solutions, but it seems to me that basically the transfer of wealth has taken place. The corporate feudalism is in place pretty much worldwide, except for Iran. They're now moving very seriously to depopulation. They're polluting the biosphere to take us all down. And I'd hope Rodney would listen to our hour that we did a couple of days ago, because I figure that's the only real solution. We have to get the lone wolves or the lone small tribes getting healthy so that they can really take over when the biosphere is brought down.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you on that. I do agree with you on that. But also the key also to beginning, any sort of struggle is to actually get your facts and to be educated and be able to engage. But I also agree with you there as well. You have to be healthy as well. And there is a concerted effort to kill us off.
Exactly. I wait to hear the other callers.
All righty. Thanks, Richard. All righty. Let's take Jeff in Vermont. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. Great show, Deanna, once again. I've been doing research on World War II for a while, and I wasn't, just like everybody else, swallowed the big lie of how bad, Hitler was and National Socialism was. And I think in the truth movement, that's the last thing people actually wake up to, and that in race and, being racially conscious. And another thing is that, now that I, that I know the truth about the NSDAP and everything. There's a concerted effort online still. You know, I just read this article with Henry Mackow, and I want you to address this because he's been promoting this a lot, and he's Jewish too. But Hitler in his nuclear ambitions, I guess they found barrels and barrels of depleted uranium in a salt mine. I think it was in probably eastern Germany, probably. You know, the Russians probably put it in there afterwards, but he's saying that Hitler detonated a nuclear weapon. He has this proof. He made this YouTube video on where he had these people, these scientists come over and do an analyze of the soil and depleted uranium and all this stuff. And I know it's a lie, but what's your opinion on Hitler and the NSD having the technology to have a nuclear weapon? And I don't know if you've ever, I know it's a hoax and it's a bunch of BS, but I was just wondering what's your opinion on it, if they have the technology, if they're pursuing that avenue, get some clarity and truth to this.
Okay, well let me comment on a couple of things you said. When people say Hitler and the NSDAP had a nuclear weapon, let's clarify a couple of things. The NSDAP was the political party. Keep in mind, there's the political party, there is the state, the government, the army, and all that. So I think those of us in the truth movement needs to be real careful not to fall into what I say the Jew speak and buy into this. Oh, it's Hitler and the Nazis. It was the German government. Hitler was the head of state of the German government. So the German nuclear program fell under the German government. It was led by German scientists. It was a function of the German government. They were developing a nuclear program just like the Americans were doing out in Los Alamos or White Sands, New Mexico. It wasn't part of the NSDAP was the political party that, was gauging public sentiment. The political party did things that political parties did. And so I think it's really, we need to really be careful when we talk about, Hitler, the NSDAP had, did this, and Hitler, the NSDAP, there was the NSDAP as the political party within Germany, then there was the state, the government doing things, and et cetera. So we need to be real careful about our language and our terminology, and we make sure that we get things factually and accurate. Now, as to the nuclear program, yes, Germany had a nuclear program. And I think they were further advanced than what people are led to believe. Whether they ever detonated a device, I've not seen evidence that they did. I frankly wish that they had gotten one completed and at least would have waved it around and told the Red Army, stop, or Moscow is going to glow, and told the Western Allies, stop, or Paris is going to glow, because they would have. And it would have saved Western Christian civilization. I frankly am of the opinion that they should have loaded warheads full of Tabun gas and dropped it on the Red Army, given what the Red Army was doing in Eastern Europe and what the atrocities they were doing in Eastern Europe. And that's a radical thing for someone to say, but it would have stopped the Red Army onslaught into Europe. And so do I have any evidence that the Germans detonated it, tested a nuclear weapon? No, I don't. I do believe they were further along in developing, but the clock ran out. The Wehrmacht just couldn't hold back two fronts. They couldn't hold back the onslaught of in the West and in the East, and they just ran out of time, material, and space to keep the program going. And then, of course, you had traitors and spies and covert actions that were leading raids on their testing facilities. So that's my take on the nuclear capabilities and what was happening in the closing days of the war.
All right, I guess I got to work on my Jew speak. I guess I have to study more.
No. And I meant that to be constructive. I hope you understand that. I meant that to be constructive.
No pun intended. That's all good.
I still catch myself every once in a while, and I'm having to. But keep in mind, this has been going on for 60 years. People are taught or indoctrinated, or it's used every day on the boob tube and books and in the newspaper and such. And we have to train ourselves to say, that's hogwash. That's not proper terminology. They're trying to control us subliminally by retooling our language.
Yeah, it's really
If I may comment, you made another comment too about the truth movement, about wanting not addressing race and National Socialism as the very last. That is something else that has to be addressed as well, because I can tell you, The National Socialist Germany was the first true nationalist state that was successful. Has there ever been one since? Was there ever really one before? Well, probably there was one before. There was states because nationalism was, there was nothing wrong with nationalism before, and there's nothing wrong with nationalism now. But National Socialist Germany was the first nation to actually cast out, you know, the Weimar model where multiculturalism was being force-fed into the culture and the arts, into the society, into the social norms. It actually was one where nationalism made a resurgence, race made a resurgence, and it was successful. And you look at the people fought to the bitter end in 1945 to preserve it. And you look at the interviews that I have done today, 60, 70 years later, people in their 80s and some of them in their 90s, still defend it. They consider it some of the best days and years of their lives. And so I think it is a big mistake and a disgrace for so-called people in the truth movement to shy away from National Socialism and to shy away from defending the policies of National Socialism and Hitler. They need to say, hey, all of this garbage that's said about it is absolutely factless. It has no merit. And we need to approach that like we do all the other lies and distortions and boondoggles.
Another thing I'd like you to address, you probably know more about this issue than me, is how diverse the Waffen-SS was with, you know, they had people joining to fight communism and to fight the Britons. I mean, they were the most diverse army on the face of the earth prior to World War II and since World War II. You know, you had the Muslims, you had the Cossacks, you had everybody joining in, and Hitler wasn't prejudiced. You know, I mean, he believed in a National Socialist Germany, and probably a National Socialist state for kind of all races, you know.
Well,
and just the whole diversity of his army, I think, was kind of amazing too. I mean, I don't think he went around and put other races down and said the Germans were the best ever walked the face of the earth.
Let me stop you right there, because sure, Hitler had pride in the German race. There's no doubt about that. His statements say that. But, you know, he did not actually, you know, contrary to the traditional narrative, say I'm going to exterminate everybody else. He did believe in the value of nation states, and the Waffen-SS is a good model. That was the first truly successful multinational force. Now, some people like to argue with me and say, what about the French Foreign Legion? Well, that's really not applicable, because if you look at the Waffen-SS, yes, they wore the German Waffen-SS uniform with the runes on them, but they also had an arm patch of their member nation. It was a multinational force. It was not, you know, it was a truly multinational force. And if it was so bad, you know, you're looking at, you know, the UN force today, where you have a UN uniform, but every member is, you know, they still wear the patch of their member nation. Pretty close to the Waffen-SS model. You had British members of the You had British members of the Waffen-SS. You had Danish members of the Waffen-SS. Leon de Grel was a prime example, a decorated hero on the Eastern Front, wounded several times on the Eastern Front. They were all united. All of these nations were all united in their determination to beat back Bolshevism, communism, and it was truly a successful model of bringing together a true multinational force, and that's a prime example. And that probably would have been a model. We talked in our last program about the post-war goals of Europe. You would have seen a tremendous expansion, probably, had Germany succeeded in the war of a retooled Waffen-SS to defend the new Europa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All righty.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jeff. All right, let's take Werner in New Brunswick.
Good evening. Good morning. I just cut in lately towards the end of your show, and here I just want to mention something. What I understand about the Waffen-SS, there were about 1,000 members. A million members, and 600,000 were foreign nationals from the Eastern European countries to Western European countries. All those people that were standing up against the prevalent threat of the communist takeover, ultimately, of all the world. Now, I look at it, for example, you know, you can have strong nation states. It's like a global village. But every villager doesn't have to look into their neighbors and go into their kitchen and tell them what to cook in their kitchen. You know, nations can live peacefully together. without interfering in all their affairs, you know, at the national level. Mm-hmm. This is where basic fairness comes in. But because the people in the Western countries, the Western allies especially, they had been indoctrinated, for about 100 years with all those lies and by the controlled media. They have bought, most of the people, they bought everything, hook, line, and sinker, the propaganda. And they've been drinking the propaganda Kool-Aid. And it is hard to undo all the damage that has been done.
Mm-hmm. A couple of things that Werner had commented on, Deanna. The oral history interviews that I've done, we'll pick it up on the other end.
Whoops. Yep. All right, we'll be right back. We've got a break.
Would you like to reclaim lost health? Are supplements only getting you so far? Hey folks, my name is Franklin. I had a heart attack in 2006 that left me with a damaged valve, working at only 20% capacity and odds against being here now. Then I found RNA Drops, a patented completement formula that creates perfect cells in your body. My perfect cells helped me to regain heart function and more. What could your body do with perfect cells? For a limited time, you can find out for free. Go to franklinsrnadrops.com and get a free mini bottle, valued at $50 on its way. Just pay shipping and handling. While you're there, you can view our growing line of products and hear amazing stories of what these products have done for others. My story is there as well. That's franklinsrnadrops.com. Start reclaiming your health today by giving your body what it needs. I cannot wait to hear what your perfect cells are doing for you. Thank you.
Wouldn't you agree? Healthy people are happier and more productive. Obesity is the root cause of many health problems. Do you want to lose weight safely, look sexy and attractive without side effects and no chemicals? Lose weight without the side effects safely with Zeno's Organic Dietary Supplements. Made in the USA, 100% USDA certified organic. Visit www.zenos.com. That's www.zenohs.com. Try our products risk-free for a limited time offer. No purchase necessary. You only pay shipping and handling. Get your old, sexy body back now. Visit Zenos.com. Get your free supplements now. Visit Zenos.com right now. www.zenohs.com. That's www.zenohs.com.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Our guest today has been Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. His website is wvfoundations.org. Please go there and listen to some of those wonderful, wonderful interviews. Fabulous.
Deanna, I wanted to cover a couple of things. It's really interesting. The Waffen-SS was only about 40, in some cases 35% German. They defended. They were one of the last units to be in the Battle of Berlin. The last unit to actually surrender in the Battle of Berlin was a Waffen-SS unit, and it was a French division, the Charlemagne, it was a Charlemagne, a unit of the Charlemagne division, which is kind of interesting. Going in, when all diplomacy had failed, and of course that was a result, I believe, of all of the intrigue into internal affairs driven by international Jewry, driven through Washington, D.C., Hitler's directive, I always like to end the show on these original documents. Hitler's directive for beginning war in Poland only mentioned Poland in three lines. The rest of it were all directives telling the Wehrmacht to be restrained, not to do anything in the West, because there was no belief that there would be a wider war, that this would be constrained only to Poland and things would work themselves out. But it basically said, the opening lines was that since the situation on Germany's eastern frontier has become intolerable, and all political possibilities of peaceful settlement have been exhausted. That's the opening line, and then it basically gives two more lines about the operations in Poland. The whole rest of it, which is about 10 paragraphs, tells the army to be restrained and to hold their positions on the western frontier of Germany and to take no offensive actions into the West. There was no belief in Germany in 1939 that there would be a major world war or a major war as a result of the Polish action. Nobody that I have interviewed, Mr. Donkert Kohler, who I just interviewed a week ago, said nobody believed, reading in the media and the news reports in Germany at the time, that this was meant to be just a regional action to resolve the Danzig issue. As a matter of fact, we'll go a step further. There was no real hardcore anti-Western propaganda, anti-Western editorials in the German media. Nobody that I've interviewed remembers anti-British, anti-French sentiment being published or whipped up in the German media at the time. What they do remember is reading about the atrocities against the German minority in Poland and the fact that Germany was trying to resolve diplomatically all of the issues regarding the so-called, and again, it's an artificial term, the so-called Polish corridor, and to reunite Danzig with Germany and to secure access from Pomerania to Danzig and into East Prussia. All that was reported. There was not this whipping up of public sentiment, against the West, against the Western nations to ready them for war. As a matter of fact, it was quite, Germany had actually postponed military action a week prior. And of course, you have the signing of the non-aggression pact with the Soviet Union. And so, so dedicated was the international cartels to driving a war with Germany that they still decided to go to war when the Germany actually took military action. But what did they do? This is an interesting dynamic which remains unchallenged. They only went to war with Germany. They guaranteed Polish borders against Germany only, not against the Soviet Union, who also invaded Poland.
Yes, indeed. That tells you a lot. Well, thank you so much for being on the program today, and you'll be back next week.
Back next week. Thank you, Deanna.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Monday.